والسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، فاتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أما بعد، today inshallah we are supposed to read the 18th hadith in the Arba'un of Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah. But we are not going to read that hadith. Over the weekend, over Yom al-Jum'ah and Sabt, and today, there has been a lot of discussions on fasting on Saturdays. A lot of questions have been raised. Can we fast on Saturdays? Can we fast on Saturday? The Saturday is Yom al-Arafah. Why shouldn't we fast? We are going to lose all the rewards. But what if we have fasted on Friday? What we have fasted on Thursday and then Friday and then Saturday? And all of these. There has been a lot of questions on it. And there have been a lot of discussions, heated on them. For me, most of them on the telephone with brothers and like that. And I am sure one way or the other, we would have also had to discuss this matter with brothers here and there, such that there is need for us, inshallah, to give some explanation as Allah will permit on this hadith. This hadith of Al-Busr, the hadith that prohibits fasting on Saturdays. Is that hadith authentic at all? Because people like Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah, he said, "Hadha kadhb." It's been reported to have said that this hadith is a lie. And then some others like Al-Imam Nasa'i, Abu Abdurrahman alayhi rahmatullah, he is also reported to have mentioned the hadith to be muttarib. And hadith muttarib min anwa'i ahadith al-da'ifah. It is from the aspects of weak narration. To say that a hadith is muttarib, in English they will say it is irregular. But what it means is contradictory in its report. Reporters contradict themselves while they report the narration, such that no aspect of it can be mentioned to be more preponderant, more evidence than the other. So because we can't give preponderance to one over the other, the ulama will say that kind of a hadith is mutawatir. The tirab can occur in asanid, and that is in the chain of narration. And the tirab can occur in the matn, that is in the text of the hadith. In whichever the cases that tirab occurs, whenever there is inability to give preponderance over sections of the narration or over the other, they say there is tirab. So is this hadith muttarib da'if? Is it hadith muttarib where the reporters were irregular in their reports and so the hadith is weak? Or is it a hadith that is muttarib sahih, Because a hadith can be mutarib sahih if the ittirab is not the kind of ittirab that renders a hadith to be weak. Because not every kind of ittirab, irregularity in narration, render narrations to be weak. But Al-Imam al-Nasa'i alayhi rahmatullah has mentioned this hadith to be mutarib. So if the hadith mutarib da'if, people like Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah in his book Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, he mentioned that the hadith is shav. That is a hadith ma rawahu thiqah aw ma rawahu rajulun maqbul mukhalifan liman huwa arjahu minhu. What a reporter whose reports are accepted reports, but he is reporting this hadith contradicting those who are more in number than him, or who are more reliable in terms of their narrations than him. So he gives that report contradicting them. Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah declared this hadith to be shaz. And Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah alayhi rahmatullah followed suit and said the hadith is shaz. But many others are said by Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah in his Majmu' and as quoted by Al-Imam Shams al-Haq al-Azim al-Abadi in his Sharh of Sunan Abi Dawud, that he says, وَقَدْ صَحَّحَهُ الْأَئِمَّةِ. The scholars have mentioned this hadith to be sahih. So this statement of Al-Imam al-Nawawi and the statement of Al-Imam Abdul Hadi al-Muqdasi in his book Al-Muharrar fi al-Hadith, that what Al-Imam Malik said, that هذا الحديث كذب. He says لا يقبل. He says فيه نظر. In his book Al-Muharrar fi al-Hadith. So there will be some confusion regarding the authenticity of the hadith itself. And also there is the confusion regarding the fiqh of the hadith. If the hadith is agreed to be authentic, as said by Imam al-Nawawi, that the A'imma mentioned that the hadith is authentic. There are many scholars who have verified the hadith, like Al-Imam al-Zarkashi mentioned the hadith to be authentic. And others, Siddiq Hassan Khan, and before them Al-Imam ibn al-Sakan, many others, Imam Hakim. So they say the hadith is authentic. So if the hadith is authentic, what then has happened with other ahadith that indicate that a person can fast on a Saturday, like the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu in Sahih Muslim and Bukhari, in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, and the hadith of Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha Juwayriyah, that's also in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So these narrations indicate that one can fast on a Saturday. Because in the hadith of Juwayriyah radiallahu anha, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam came into her apartment on a Friday وَهِيَ صَائِمَةٌ, while she was fasting. فَسَأَلَهَا عَلَيْهِ صَلَاتُ وَسَلَامُ, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her that أَصُمْتِ أَمْسٍ, did you fast yesterday? She said قَالَتْ لَا, no, I did not fast yesterday, Thursday. And he asked alayhi salatu wasalam, turidina anta sumi gadan aw asumt aw tasumina gadan, say will you fast tomorrow? And she said la. He said alayhi salatu wasalam, faftiri, so break your fast. That is, if you are not going to fast on Saturday and you have not fasted on Thursday, it is not right for you to fast on Friday. He said to her alayhi salatu wasalam, faftiri, so break your fast, because you will not fast tomorrow, Saturday. So from this hadith, it could be understood that one can fast on a Saturday. The reason why we say it could be understood is that Saturday is not mentioned in that hadith. He said ghadan. So to say it's Saturday is still min al mafhumat. It is still only understood from the hadith. So some of the scholars say that this hadith is nasikh, is abrogating. While that hadith of Al-Busr that says we should not fast on such days is the abrogated Mansur. One of those who said that was Al-Imam Abu Dawud. Alaykum as-salam rabiyallah. Alaykum as-salam rahmatullah. Al-Imam Abu Dawud al-Tayalis. Abu Dawud al-Sijistani. Alayhi rahmatullah. He said the hadith is mansukh. That is, the hadith is abrogated. The hadith that prohibits fasting on Saturday. So if the hadith is abrogated, ulama ask, what is the dalil al-tariq? What is the evidence from history that one came before the other? Because what happens is that Abdullah ibn Busr al-Mazini radiyallahu anhuma, who reported the hadith, is akhiru man mata bisham min ashab ar-rasul, is the last of those who died in Sham. He lived actually in Hims from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if he is akhiru man mata and he is telling the people, atarawna kaffi hadhihi, do you see this, my hand? I have taken bay'ah with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with it, and he has prohibited fasting on Saturday. So, and he is the last person to die in the whole of Sham. The whole of Sham is ancient Syria, as it is called. Today it includes Syria and Lebanon and Palestine, as it is called, and Jordan today. The last companion to die in all of those places. Because over 10,000 companions entered Sham at the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over 10,000. So people like Abu Darda were there in Sham, and many others. Irbad ibn Sariyah, Shami, Wafat. So many companions entered Sham and died there. So Abdullah ibn Busr radiallahu anhuma is the last person to die in Sham from the companions. And he's saying that I took bayah from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And from what he said to me is that, and from what he said is that it is prohibited to fast on Saturday. So how could it have been that this hadith came last? Do we understand? How could it have been that this hadith is mansukh? So there is this problem here and there. So others say, oh no, the hadith is not mansukh. Like Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Sharh al-Mumtir. He says, قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ ضَعِيفٌ قَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ شَاذٌ وَقَالَ بَعْدُهُمْ كَذْبٌ ضَعِيفٌ. He says, وَالْحَدِيثُ He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْحَدِيثُ لَا بَعْثَ بِهِ. He says, but the hadith, there is no problem with it. He said, the only thing is that it only shows that we cannot fast on Saturday alone. If the fast is supererogatory, we cannot fast alone on Saturday. And many things like that. People like Abu Malik even said that the ulama say the hadith is daif. So it ended the matter there. The one who wrote Sahih al-Sunnah. So all these kind of issues have come on these hadiths. So we feel that it will be good, inshallah, if we look at this hadith, min nahiyat al-hadithiyya wa min nahiyat al-fiqhiyya. If we look at this hadith as simplistic as we will try to be, as explanatory, we'll try to be, and easy, we'll try to be, inshallah, from the aspects of it being authentic or otherwise, and from the aspect of it's sick, does it really prohibit somebody from fasting on Saturday, as has been mentioned? So we say that this hadith, books have been written on this hadith. Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, one of the students of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmat, hafizahullah, is still alive. He wrote a book on this hadith that he dedicated to this hadith. And one of the scholars also from Zarfah, Abu Hussam Al-Zarfawi, he also dedicated a book to it. And in his book, he referred to it as Tanbihu Zawi al-Uqul al-Sadida An Hukmi Sawmi Yawmi al-Sabti Illa fil-Farida. And in it also, he was proving what he concluded in the book. And Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid in his Muqaddimah mentioned at least four persons who have also written about the hadith. So we have a little opportunity to gather these materials and try to see what they have mentioned, inshallah, about the hadith. This hadith was reported from four companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three of them from the same household, the household of Busr. Because the first person that was mentioned, Abdullah ibn Busr al-Mazini, his father, Busr ibn Abi Busr al-Mazini, also reported the hadith from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have Abdullah ibn Busr al-Mazini, we have Busr ibn Abi Busr al-Mazini, and then we have Samma Ukhtu. We have Samma. Samma is mentioned to be the sister of Abdullah ibn Busr and one of the daughters of Busr ibn Abi Busr. So Samma Ukhtu Abdullah ibn Busr. We say Ukhtu Abdullah ibn Busr because there are a lot of reports. If you look at the Musnad Imam Ahmad, the Musnad of Abdullah ibn Busr, you will see in a lot of authentic narrations where Abdullah ibn Busr is mentioning Sammah as his sister. And these narrations are authentic. Aside from that, over 10 reporters have mentioned from Thawr ibn Yazid, one of those who have reported the hadith, that Sammah is the sister of Abdullah ibn Busr. Because this is from the areas of confusion. Some have reported that his sister, some reported that his mother, some reported that his aunt, paternal, some reported that his aunt, maternal aunt. So who is she? It is one of the reasons why some of the scholars mention ittirab, as far as the hadith is concerned. So there is no ittirab in it. Let's quickly mention that. We may never have the time to come back to it. That does not, this kind of ittirab does not render the narration weak if we can affirm that there is ittirab. But if we cannot affirm that there is ittirab, there is no need blaming ourselves and saying that the hadith is weak because of ittirab. The report, the chain of narrations that shows that Samma is Ukhtu Abdullah ibn Busr, there are over 10 narrations from reliable narrators, most of them. But those reports that show that she is her aunt, she's his mother and all of these, those ones that are authentic are perhaps reported by only a single person. Most of them are weak narrations. So when 10 or 8 reliable reporters say that Samma is Ukhtu Abdullah ibn Busr, and one reporter is saying authentically reported also that she is his aunt or his paternal aunt or his maternal aunt, there is no ittirab. Because there is a theology of the report that will be giving preponderance to the report of many reporters that she is his sister, give preponderance to it over the report of those who say that she is his aunt. The same thing applies. There are, like I mentioned, reports in Musnad Imam Ahmad from the Musnad of Abdullah ibn Busr. Abdullah ibn Busr said that his sister Samma used to send him with gifts to the Prophet Muhammad. Abdullah ibn Busr said that his sister Samma used to send him with gifts to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet will accept it. This is clear text from Abdullah ibn Busr himself that Samma is his sister. So there is no need to say there is ittirab, because there aren't authentic narrations that mentions and makes us understand that preponderance should be given to the fact that Samma bint Busr is the sister of Abdullah ibn Busr. So this hadith has been reported by Al Busr, and from the first of them, the most popular who has reported this hadith is Abdullah ibn Busr. About three tabi'un have reported this hadith from Abdullah, but one of them is Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Himsi. We said Abdullah lived in Hims. Hims is one of the cities of ancient Syria. The city still exists till today. So Khalid ibn Ma'dan al-Himsi, alayhi rahmatullah, ulama say huwa min fuqaha'i ahli al-Sham ba'da al-Sahaba, is from the scholars of fiqh who took over from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad in Sham. You see, in Sham makes us understand who that person is. Because like we said, Sham had an assemblage of about 10,000 companions. Over that, Muhammad Ijaj al-Khatib mentioned that in his book, Usul al-Hadith, that about 10,000 companions died in Sham. So if a man became a faqih in a place where 10,000 companions live, you know that he's really a scholar of hadith or a scholar of fiqh, as the case may be. So they say, وَفَّقَهُ al-a'imma. In fact, that was why Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah mentioned that أَدْرَكَ سَبْعِينَ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, that this Imam Khalid ibn Ma'dan came in contact with 70 from the companions of the Prophet Muhammad. So he's from those who were very, very learned at the time amongst the people. So Khalid ibn Ma'dan reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Busr. And from him, Thawr ibn Yazid al-Himsi also. Thawr ibn Yazid al-Himsi reported this hadith from Khalid ibn Ma'dan. And both Khalid ibn Ma'dan is from amongst those from whom Al-Imam al-Bukhari reports narrations. He has reports in Sahih Bukhari. Thawr ibn Yazid al-Himsi also has reports in Sahih Bukhari. In fact, regarding him, Al-Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan said, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَامِيًّا أَوْثَقُ مِنْ ثَوْرِ ابْنِ يَزِيدٍ. Imam Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Qattan, as strict as he is in terms of reports and in talking about those who accept reports, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَامِيًّا أَوْثَقُ مِنْ ثَوْرِ ابْنِ يَزِيدٍ. I never saw anybody who came from Sham that is more reliable, more knowledgeable than Thawr ibn Yazid. Is the one who has reported from Khalid ibn Ma'dan. And the one who reported, there are other comments, but for time. If there is need during question time, inshallah, we'll come back to some of these reporters, inshallah. And the one who has reported from Thawr ibn Yazid is the Imam Isa ibn Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabi'i, the brother of Israel. Imam ibn Abi Ishaq, Abu Ishaq al-Sabi'i, is one of the scholars from amongst the Tabi'un. He has some children who were also scholars of hadith. One of them was Israel. One of them is Yunus. This Yunus had two children who are known from the scholars of hadith. One of them is Isa, who has reported this hadith from Thawr ibn Yazid. And the other one is Israel. This Isa, alayhi rahmatullah, Ibn Yunus Ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sabi'i, al-Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah referred to him saying, Ahadul A'lam fil Hifzi wal Ibadah. Ahadul A'lam, one of the most noble scholars, one of those by whom, one of the authorities, because when someone is an authority in a field, you take after him in the field, and this is the essence of being an alam in the field. So one of the authorities in Hifz and Ibadah, in terms of memorizing narrations and Ibadah. You could wonder why all this. The reason is, after all these kind of people have reported this hadith, then why then do we say the hadith is weak? It would be easy to also understand the incorrectness of saying that hadha al-hadith kazbun. Where are the kazzabun? One of the scholars who wrote regarding this matter, he said, all the reports that have come on this hadith, there is no kazzab, there is no mutaham bil kazb. There is no kazzab, there is no mutaham bil kazb. Kazzab, liar, ardent, with lies. He fabricates the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. Otherwise, they call him wadda. But mutaham bil kazib is a man who lies in his day-to-day affairs. None of them is in any of the reports of this hadith. So when Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah is reported to have said, because people like Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid is querying that, there is no chain of narration between Al-Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah al-Sijistani and Imam Malik. He just said, Qala Malik. So there is no authenticity to say Imam Malik actually said that. There is no authentic report to say Imam Malik said that the hadith is a lie, because there is no chain of narration. In fact, what Imam Abu Dawud did in his Sunan was that after that he followed it with another statement that Hazal hadith mansukh. How can the hadith be kazub? And then he believes that it is kazub, and then he comes to say it is mansukh. Because to say that it is mansukh is ta'wil.
والتاويل فرع التصحيح. That Imam Abu Dawud alayhi rahmatullah said the hadith is mansukh. If it's not authentic, he would not say that it is mansukh, because you don't make nasq of a hadith that is cant. It suffices to say that it's a lie than to say that it is abrogated. There will not be a need to say it is abrogated if Imam Abu Dawud alayhi rahmatullah believed that the hadith is cant, as he reported. Perhaps you only wanted us to know that this is one thing Malik said, because that is from one of the ways of the scholars of hadith. So if all these kind of people, Abdullah ibn Busr, Khalid ibn Ma'dan reported from him, and Thawr ibn Yazid reported from Khalid ibn Ma'dan, and then Isa ibn Yunus ibn Abi Ishaq al-Sadi'i reported from Yazid, from Thawr ibn Yazid, and the one who has reported from Isa ibn Yunus, al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba. Kulluhum min Rijal Bukhari. Ibn Abi Shayba is from those who compiled narrations in this Ummah. Ibn Abi Shayba is from the teachers of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari. He has a book referred to as Al-Musannaf, which contains over 30,000 narrations. So Ibn Abi Shayba, Imam, and it is from him that Ibn Majah reported the hadith. So, and this is why it will not be strange for us if we read the statement of Al-Imam Hakim, when he said that al-hadith sahih ala shart al-Bukhari. Imam Hakim alayhi rahmatullah said this hadith is authentic based on the conditions of al-Imam Bukhari. What does that mean? It means the hadith is qualified to be in Sahih Bukhari. Not as a ta'liq, not as a mutaba'ah, but as an asl. These are the forms of hadith in Sahih Bukhari. The asul, the usul, are the basic reports in Sahih Bukhari. So this hadith, if it is such Sahih ala shart al-Bukhari, it is qualified to be from the foundational reports in Sahih Bukhari. So this hadith is authentic. That riwaya we have mentioned is from Al-Imam Abu Ibn Majah, alayhi rahmatullah. There are other chains of narrations from Abdullah ibn Busr, but this appears to be the best. And if we look at it, there are no too many rijal. There is a lot of ulu in this riwayah, the riwayah of Ibn Majah. It's also reported by Al-Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan al-Kubra, and others too, that the scholars have mentioned. It's one of the best reports on this narration. So when Al-Imam Hakim said, shart sahih ala shart al-Bukhari, that was why he mentioned it, because all those who reported the hadith are from rijal al-Bukhari. No mudallis. Sikot a'imma. So this hadith is authentic from this chain of narrations. So it will not be strange when Al-Imam al-Nawawi alayhi rahmatullah said that waqad sahahahu al-a'imma, that the scholars have mentioned that this hadith is authentic. Before we leave the reports of Abdullah ibn Busr, there is another riwayah in Musnad Imam Ahmad, also from Abdullah ibn Busr radiyallahu anhuma, that Hassan ibn Nuh al-Himsi reported from him. Hassan ibn Nuh siqah. And the one who has reported from Hassan ibn Nuh is Ali ibn Ayyash, siqatun sabtun. And Imam Ahmad reported from him. So this hadith also from this chain of narration is also authentic. No ittirab. This riwayah of Abdullah ibn Busr, no ittirab. If we make taslim that the report of Sammah, we'll come back to it, is muttarib, this report of Abdullah ibn Busr is not muttarib. No skin in the chain of narration of this riwayah of Abdullah ibn Busr radiyallahu anhum. And in that report of Hassan, from which Ali ibn Ayyash reported, and which was reported by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, Hassan ibn Nuh al-Himsi said عليه رحمة الله that رأيت عبد الله بن بصر يقول I saw while عبد الله بن بصر was saying that ترون كفي هذه, do you see this my palm, he says فهش أشهد أني They are testifying that I wada'tuha ala kaffi Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I placed it on the palm of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I swear to Allah. He mentioned that. He said, wanaha an siyami yawm as-sabt. And the Prophet prohibited fasting on Saturdays. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. Wa qala. And then that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He said, in lam yajid ahadukum illa lihaha shajaratin fal... فَلْيُفْتِرْ عَلَيْهِ. That if you fast, if you have to fast on Saturday, accept a fast that is obligatory. If you have to fast on a Saturday, instead of fasting, even if it is the bark of a tree that you will eat to be sure that you are not fasting on Saturday, eat that thing. Don't fast on Saturday. He says, if you cannot find anything to eat on Saturday, make sure you are not fasting. Even if it is the bark of a tree that you will eat, to be sure that you are not fasting on a Saturday, make sure you eat that thing, so that you are not fasting. So the matter is not just nahy, but it is an-nahyul mu'akkad. Like Al-Imam Zarkashi said, we'll read his comments. It's not just a prohibition, but it's an affirmed prohibition. Naha Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kaza. The Prophet prohibited so and so. It's different when he prohibited so and so and said, even if so and so and so and so must happen, you must make sure that so and so does not happen. So there is tawqid, there is our ta'qid in this nahi of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Like we said earlier, many scholars have mentioned this hadith to be authentic. From that is Al-Imam Ibn Sakan. Also, Al-Imam Sindi, who did a ta'liq on Sahih Sunan Ibn Majah, he mentioned that the hadith is authentic. And we had mentioned to us the comment of Al-Imam al-Nawawi when he said that فَقَدْ صَحَّحَهُ الْأَئِمَّةُ, that the scholars of hadith have mentioned that this hadith is authentic. This is the first chain of narration. Does not have any problem. No ittirab, no daf, no shudud. Hadith in Sahih. Ala sharti al-Bukhari. Alayhim rahmatullah. The second chain of narration, we said it was reported by four companions. Three of them from the same household. Father, son and daughter. Reported the hadith. Because that's from the issues of ittirab people say. Some of the scholars say no. Is it the report of the father or the report of the son or the report of the daughter? Whomever's report it is, kulluhum min as-sahaba. فَالِتِّرَابْ هُنَا لَا تَدُرْ لَا يَدُرْ. Whichever, whether father or daughter or son, the fact is that they are all companions. So who actually reported is not important. Hatta, even if they did not mention the person's name, they only say, أَحَدُ مَنْ صَحِبَ الرَّسُولِ كَفَانَ اللَّهُ شَرَّ الضَّعَفِ. We are comfortable with saying that the hadith is not authentic. It's authentic. Even if a companion is not mentioned, it was only a companion. His name was not mentioned. How much more we have reports that affirms that all of them reported it. All of them. Father reported it. The son reported. Why not? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day Busur ibn Abi Busur al-Mazni, the father of these two, the father of Samma and Abdullah, invited the Prophet to their house. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. He invited the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to their house. He gave the Prophet food to eat. He finished what he gave. He gave increased, and the Prophet ate alayhi salatu wasalam. He stood up to go. And he said, pray for us, O Messenger of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed for them. So, their relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a known relationship. The father could have heard the narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told his children. Either of them could have heard from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and told the household. And all of them could have heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the same time. The fact is that they are all companions. And they are known to be companions. And they have all reported this hadith. So which one of them actually reported the hadith is not important. The fact is that they are companions. So this kind of a matter, yes, ittirab, but it's not the kind of ittirab that affects the authenticity of a hadith. So the other aspect of the hadith is the report of Summa. We had mentioned that the sister of Abdullah ibn Busr. And like we said, 10 from amongst those who reported the hadith. Because what has happened, if you look at Sunan Tirmidhi, what you find is that Yazid, Thawr ibn Yazid al-Himsi, was quoting from Khalid ibn Ma'dan, also al-Himsi, from Abdullah ibn Busur and Ukhtihi Samma. This is what you find. So in the first report, no Samma was mentioned. He only said directly Abdullah ibn Busur. Then he said, call Rasulullah. In the other report, Khalid mentioned Abdullah ibn Busur and Ukhtihi. Qala Rasulullah. So this is how the report has come. About 10 reporters have reported it like this, that Khalid and Abdullah ibn Busr and Ukhtihi qala Rasulullah. 10 reporters. So a reporter reported and Abdullah and Samma from Abdullah ibn Busr, from Samma, Ammatuhu. This is the first problem. Is it his maternal aunt, paternal aunt, mother or sister? Like we said, also, if this is mentioned also to be from Ittirab, it does not disturb the narration. Whether it is his mother, whether it is his sister, the fact is that she was the one who reported the hadith. And like we said in the other case, even if she was not mentioned, her name was not mentioned, but it was affirmed that she's a companion, la yaduruna. It will not affect the narration. But in this case, we have a situation where 10 reporters report that, no, this is her sister. And that's why if you read the books of Rijal, they would say, Ukhtus Abdullah ibn Busr. They would not say, Kila, here, Ammatuhu, here, Khalatuhu, here, Ummuhu, Kila, Bisigatit Tamrid. And that is what the head of those who have compiled narrations on the biographies of narrators, Al-Imam Abu al-Hajjaj al-Hafiz al-Mizzi, has done in his Tahzib al-Kamal. Just take some time to read the Tarjuma of Abdullah ibn Busr, radiyallahu anhum. So also the report of Samma is authentic, and it has been reported by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah, and Ali Imam al-Tabrani alayhi rahmatullah. There is also a riwayah that mentions Abdullah ibn Busr and Samma and Aisha radiyallahu anhum. But this chain of narration is weak, so it will not come in phase to start saying there's iktirab. Do we understand? The chain of narration that mentioned that Samma heard from Aisha is weak, so it does not do anything to the hadith. We put it aside. So these are the first two chains of narration as far as the hadith is concerned. The third chain of narration is a hadith of the report of Busr himself, their father, Ibn Abi Busr al-Mazni. His own report is mentioned by Imam al-Nasa'i in Sunan al-Kubra. And it has a mutaba'ah, that is a corroborating report. A report that corroborates another report. And the Mu'jam al-Kabir of Al-Imam al-Tabrani, alayhi rahmatullah, and his book, Musnad al-Shamiyyin. So Al-Imam al-Tabrani reported in these two books, drawing the chain of narration, which was declared Hassan by Sheikh Ali Hassan Abdul Hamid Al-Halabi, Hafizahullah, wherein after Abdullah ibn Busur reported the hadith from his father, the first one he reported alone, the second one he reported quoting his sister, and here he's reporting quoting his father. He said, radiyallahu anhuma, he says, in shakaktum fasallu ukhti. This is another report that this Samma is his sister. He says, in shakaktum, if you are in doubt about what I've said, fasallu ukhti, go and ask my sister. This report is evidence that it was a narration the whole household knew. And that's why the scholars of hadith refer to it as hadith of Ali Busr. The hadith of what? The family of Busr. He says, if you doubt what I'm saying, go and ask my sister. He says, فَمَشَى إِلَيْهَا خَالِدْ إِبْنُ مَعْدَانِ. So Khalid ibn Ma'dan went to her. It also means that if Khalid ibn Ma'dan is not reporting from Abdullah ibn Busr, he can report the hadith direct from the father. So if you see a narration now that says, one says, and Khalid ibn Ma'dan and Abdullah ibn Busr call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see another report says, Khalid ibn Ma'dan and Abdullah ibn Busr and Abihi call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't say that it's wrong. Because here it has made us understand that Khalid ibn Ma'dan, after getting the report from Abdullah ibn Busr, he went to the sister to ask. So it means you can even see an Abdullah ibn Busr, an Ufsihi, an Abihi, an Abiha. I mean, ha, huna, the sister. Or an Abdullah, an Khalid ibn Ma'dan, an Samma, without mentioning Abdullah ibn Busr. Don't say that it's tirab. It is the way the hadith has come. He says, so Khalid ibn Ma'dan went to Samma, the sister of Abdullah ibn Busr. He says, فَسَأَلَهَا أَمَّا ذَكَرَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. So he asked her regarding what Abdullah had said. He said, فَحَدَّثَتْهُ بِذَلِكِ. So she narrated the same hadith to who? Khalid ibn Ma'dan. So if these reports have come without somebody having this narration that makes it clear that no, it's a family report. Every person in the family knew it. And some of the reporters who narrated from the family actually met everybody in the family. So they could report this time like this, this time like this, this time like this. They are all authentic narrations. And the fact, is this the father? Is this the son? Is this the sister? Is it the aunt? Is it? It does not matter. Because they are all companions of the Prophet Muhammad. And those who have reported it are also sekot. So we don't have a problem with whether she's the sister or the aunt or the mother. The fourth chain of narration of this hadith is the narration of Abu Umama, Suddi ibn Ajlan, radiallahu anhu. This report is mentioned to be Hassan. That's why one of the scholars was saying. Now, if you say the hadith of Al-Busr is mudtarib or is shaz, what about that of Umama? The hadith of Umama, Suddi ibn Ajlan, it does not have any problem. It's not, it's Hassan. It is reliable. It does not have any problem. It does not have ittirab. You accepted ittirab or ittirab that makes reports become rejected. Any kind of shuzuz does not occur there. Any kind of ittirab does not occur there. So why then do you come back and say, no, the hadith is kazuf? So this makes us understand that to say that this hadith is kazuf is not authentic. In fact, some of the scholars have said that statement that was mentioned to be from Imam Malik, that Imam Abu Dawud said that, it's not in some of the copies of Sunan Abu Dawud. Sheikh Al-Albani mentioned that in Ira Al-Ghali. Gumari also mentioned it in his book. And when I saw that, I quickly checked. I have three copies of Sunan Abu Dawud. I have the Tawbah of Maktabatul Ma'arif. I have the Tawbah of Darus Salam Riyadh. Then I have the Tawbah that is attached to Sunan Abi Dawud of Awn al-Ma'bud. It does not occur in any of these copies of Sunan Abi Dawud. That statement that Imam Malik said that has al-Hadith, that this hadith is a lie. That statement does not occur there. So it may not have been the statement of Imam Malik. Or some of the people could have said, how could Imam Malik say this and remove it from it? Allahu Alam. But like we have said, there is no chain of narration anywhere that has indicated that Al-Imam Malik actually has made that statement. And that's why Al-Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ لَا يُقْبَلْ. That is قَوْلُ Malik. Imam al-Nawawi said, alayhi rahmatullah, وَهَذَا الْقَوْلُ لَا يُقْبَلْ. This statement of Imam Malik that this hadith is a lie ascribed to him, la yukbal, it will not be accepted. And like we mentioned, Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Hadi Al-Muqdasi in his book Al-Muharrar fil Hadith, he said, wa fi dhalika nazar. That statement is contestable. To say that this hadith is a lie is contestable. And we have mentioned the issues of ittirab. It kept on coming. So we'll not need to go and start referring to ittirab and trying to refute it again. Inshallah. The third thing that has also come up is the issue of shuzuz, whether the hadith is shaz. Like we said, Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah in Al-Iqtida He mentioned that the hadith is sharp. And also, Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah followed suit in his book, Tahzib al-Sunan, that the hadith is sharp. And like we said, hadith al-sharp is ma rawahu thika, aw saduq, aw maqbool. Mukhalifan liman huwa arjafu minhu. A reporter who, if he reports a hadith, the hadith is authentic. But he reports something that contradicts what other more reliable reporters have mentioned. That's his own report. It's mentioned to be what? Shav. The other one is mentioned to be what? Mahfuz. So that shav is weak. It is a mahfuz that will be taken and is authentic. So to say that this hadith is shav, where is the word hushuruz? Where does shuvuz come? And that's why Sheikh Ali Hassan was saying, Hafizahullah, that this statement shav is not yani ala istilah al-muhaddisi. It is not shav of istilah. It is not shav that is known in this science of hadith. Perhaps they meant something else. Perhaps they meant that there are differences in Uqtu. Maybe they meant something like that. But it is not surely shuvuz that someone can say. People like Abu Malik said that some people say the hadith is shav. Some people say the hadith is... So they depended on that to say the hadith is weak. So and that's because they have not made dirasa. This hadith is so important. But if you look at that book, Sahih Fiqh Sunnah, 1, 2, 3 paragraphs, they just start, just say something, left the book, the issue, and came to another matter. Said the scholars of hadith say that this hadith is weak. Masha. So if you read the back, they said, Musahaha ala Kuali, Albani, Uthaymeen, Bumbaz. Where are their Akwal? In Irwal al-Galil, fi takhrij ahadith manarik sahih. About 7 pages was used by Sheikh al-Albani to discuss this hadith alone. There are other places in Silsilat al-Sahiha. There are other places in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud as important as this hadith. The man just mentioned 3 paragraphs. He left it and went ahead. Sahih if he kills him. So there is no issue of saying that the hadith is a shaz. Also the issue of nafkh. That the hadith is abrogated. The meaning of nafkh is a hadith comes and says something is permissible. Another one says that same thing is not permissible. But the one that says it's not permissible came later. So we say that one is what? Nafikh. The first one is referred to as mansukh. So the issue is which one came earlier or later? Is it the hadith of Juwayriyah or the hadith of Ibn Busr? There is no evidence. Ulama say there is no dalil tariq. One of them, Al-Zarfawi, Abu Hussam, he was even saying that if we are to say that it's nasikh here, it is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Busr that we are going to say that it is nasikh. And the hadith of Juwayriyah and Abu Huraira was mentioned to be what? Mansukh. Because of some of what we had mentioned at the beginning. So to say that this hadith is mansukh, the least thing we can say about it is that there is no dalil tariq yuthbitu nasikh. There is no dalil tariq, proof from history to say this one came before this, which will establish that there is what? Naskhu. Wa naskhu la yasbutu bil ihtimal. And to say that something is mansukh, it will not be because it is possible that, no. These possibilities do not establish abrogation. And this is agreed upon by the scholars. So this hadith does not have any problem. Min nahiyat al hadithiyya. From the aspects of hadith. Authenticity or not authenticity. This hadith does not have problem. وَهُوَ صَحِيحْ عَلَىٰ شَرْطِ الْبُخَارِ. This hadith is authentic on the conditions of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, as we mentioned while we were talking about the riwayah of Abdullah ibn Busr radiallahu anhuma. So this hadith prohibits us from fasting on Saturdays. Fiqhul hadith. What do we get from the hadith? In it, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it was said that the Prophet said, whichever way, because in some aspects, Abdullah ibn Busr will report with ma'na and then mention something from the Prophet. In some other place, he mentioned riwaya bil-lafz. So we take riwaya bil-lafz. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu yawma sabti illa fima afturidu alaykum. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu yawma sabti. Do not fast on Saturday. Don't fast on Saturday. Illa fi mafturidu alaykum. Except in the fast that is made obligatory on you. don't fast on Saturday, except a fast that is made obligatory on you. So, the same way he prohibited so many other things, he prohibited us from fasting on the day of Eid. Is it not so? So if Eid comes on the day of Thursday, and we have narrations that shows that we should fast on Mondays and Thursdays, is it not? So if the day of Eid is Thursday, are we going to fast? Why are we not going to fast? We are going to make taqdeemun nahi alal mubish. We are going to prefer the text that shows prohibition over the text that shows permissibility. The text that prohibits us from fasting on the Eid, we bring it forward. The one that says we should fast, in fact, not just mubish. The one that encourages us to fast on Thursday, we put it aside. Oh, yeah, you are not fasting today. You say, oh, today is Eid. So why are you not fasting today? When today is Eid? So what? You say, oh, because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited fasting on Eid. Not on Thursdays. On the days of Eid. So the same thing applies. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prohibited a woman traveling without a mahram. He says, لا يحل للمرأة المسلمة أن تسافر بدون زوجها أو ذي محرمها. It is not permitted for the woman, a Muslim woman. In fact, in some riwayat, he said, تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. A woman who believes in Allah on the day of Qiyamah, it's not permissible for her to make a journey except that she has imma her husband or any of her maharim traveling with her. So a woman wants to go for Hajj. Hajj is obligatory. And she does not have a mahram. Will she go for Hajj? Let's bring a clearer text. The report of Abdullah ibn Abbas was brought by Al-Imam Ad-Darqutni, and it is authentic. It says, لا تحجن امرأة إلا ومعها ذو محرمها. No woman should make Hajj except a mahram is with her. So, but she wants to go for Hajj. Hajj is obligatory, and it is not that she has money. So what will she do? Will she go? Nah, we say لا تقديم النهي أو تقديم النهي على المبيح بل على على الموجب. Because Al-Imam Shinkiti عليه رحمة الله, he used this a lot in his book, دَفْعُ إِهَامِ الْإِطْرَابِ عَنْ آيَاتِ الْكِتَابِ. He has a book wherein he was harmonizing verses of the Quran that appear conflicting. It will appear to be conflicting. He wants to make you understand that there is no conflict. He will harmonize it. One of such verses is a verse that is close to us here in Surah Al-Ma'idah. Allah says, حُرِّمَتْ عَلَيْكُمْ الْمَيْتَةُ وَالْدَّمُ وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. So prohibited for you. الْمَيْتَةُ, animals that fall dead. وَالْدَّمُ, flowing blood collected, made to become food or drink. وَلَحْمُ الْخِنْزِيرِ, swine. He said, وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. And what is mentioned while the people pronounce the name of other than Allah aloud, إِهِلَال, they make it allowed, mentioning the name of other than Allah, allowed when they kill that thing. But Allah told us in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ مَاذَا أُحِلَّ لَهُمْ قُلْ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَمَا الْيَوْمَ أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَطُعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ. He said, today, أُحِلَّ لَكُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ, every nice food is permissible for you. He says, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلُّ لَكُمْ. And the food of the people of the book is permissible for you. So if you hear a Christian saying, in the name of Jesus, to slaughter the ram, will you eat it? Why? Because he says, وَمَا أُهِلَّ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ بِهِ. What has been slaughtered while they mention the name of Allah aloud, there is nahw here. But this one is mubish. This text shows that we can eat the food of the people of the book. But this other text shows that no, it is not all of their food though. We cannot eat the food that upon which they pronounce the name of other than Allah aloud. We can't eat it. So put forward the text that prohibits, and we limit it to the area of prohibition. So when they say, لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا فيما افترض عليكم, Do not fast on the Saturday, except a fast that is obligatory on you. People say, no, we can fast. So here, the Qa'idah does not work. The Qa'idah does not work. That no, we give preference in the text to the narration that prohibits us. We give preference to it over the text that shows that we can do something. Here, no, it's not working. But in other places, it works. So with this, they will harmonize if this hadith is taken. And that is the correct thing, as some of the scholars have mentioned. Some people may even say that it is new. It was when Albani came that it became an issue. That's a lie. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, alayhi rahmatullah, in his book, Mushkilul Afar, when he mentioned this hadith, he mentioned it. He said some of the scholars are saying that it is not permissible to fast on Saturday. So if Al-Imam al-Tahawi in the 4th century of Islam is saying that some scholars say it's not permissible, how do you say that Albani came and says the one that is not permissible? From among those who said that it's not permissible is Al-Imam al-Zarkashi. In his book, is Tafsir Bahrul Muhit. He mentioned, we read his comments. Because some people say, no, it should be only makruh. Imam al-Zarkashi said, no, this matter is more than being makruh. Let's quickly go through that. We may never have the time again. And Imam al-Zarkashi, alayhi rahmatullah, he came just after the lights of Imam al-Nawawi, alayhi rahmatullah, after them. Long ago, not Albani started it. He says, فَقَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَدِيثِ لَا تَصُومُ يَوْمَ السَّبْتِ. He said the statement of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم in this hadith that don't fast on a Saturday, نَهَيٌ يَقْتَدِ التَّحْرِيمِ. It's a prohibition that implies that we must, that thing is prohibited. It must be abstained from. He says, وَالْأَحَدِيثُ الْجَوَازِ. But all those ahadith that indicate that we can fast on a Saturday, لَا تَصْرِفُ هَذَا النَّهْيَ لِغَيْرِ التَّحْرِيمِ. It will not change this prohibition away from being prohibited. That is, it will not make it become permissible. Do we understand? Those ahadith that show that it is permissible, they don't have the strength to convert this hadith to a hadith that does not indicate prohibition. It says, لِقَوْلِهِ فِي آخِرِ الْحَدِيثِ. He said, because of what he said at the end of the hadith, that فَإِنْ لَمْ يَجِدْ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا لِحَاحَ إِنْبَتٍ أَوْ عُدَ شَجَرَةٍ فَلْيَدْمُغْهَا. That even if you have to get the peel of the grapefruit or the bark of a tree, you must break your fast. You must make sure that you are not fasting. He said, this statement is the statement that makes us understand that it is not a matter of sarafahu and tahrim. It does not have the strength. Because it is nahyu that comes with what? Tawkid. So he said, alayhi rahmatullah, he says, فَإِنَّهُ تَشْدِيدٌ فِي النَّحْيِ. Because it is emphasizing the prohibition. It says, وَإِلَّا فَمَا فَائِدَةُ قَوْلِهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ ذَلِكَ إِذَا لَمْ يَكُنْ تَأْكِيدًا فِي النَّحْيِ. He says, if not, what is the benefit of all these statements Prophet is emphasizing? Even if you find the intrinsic, even if you find this, make sure that you are not fasting. If it's just something that it can just be changed like that, because there are narrations that indicate, it will not have any need that is insisting, that make sure you are not fasting on Saturday. He says, so don't say that there is a hadith that has removed it from the level of being prohibited to level of being makruh. It is not makruh. Even when that is the position of the jumhur, it is not makruh. The hadith is authentic. And the nahyu is lit-tahrim, yaqtadit tahrim. As Al-Imam al-Zarkashi has said, and many others have said that after him, alayhi rahmatullah. That you find it in the book also, Tanbihu Zawil Ukul al-Sadida ila hukmi sawmi sabti fi gairi faridah. You'll see it in the book, inshallah. So it is not permissible to fast on a Saturday. He said, alayhi salatu wassalam, la tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi maftiru dalik. Do not fast on a Saturday except a fast that is obligatory. So Ashura comes Saturday, should we fast? Simple question. Is it fi maftiru dalik? No, so we not fast. Arafah comes on Saturday. Is it fi maftiru dalik? We say, no, we will not fast. Why? Because we are prohibited to fast any fast on Saturday, except that fast is obligatory. Look at this again. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, alayhi salatu wasalam, لا تصوموا حتى تروا الهلال ولا تفطروا حتى تروا. Do not fast until you sight the moon, and do not break your fast until you sight the moon.
So someone starts the fast and says, me, oh, they have not sighted the moon, oh, but I've started Ramadan. I've started fasting. Why not? Because it is beneficial to be fasting. You know, there's a lot of reward in fasting. So he fast thinking that he has commenced Ramadan. We say, no, la tasumu hatta taraw hilal. He say, oh, yes, I should not fast until I start the moon. The moon is starting. But me, I like to fast. And there are narrations that indicate that we can fast. So this prohibition does not actually mean prohibition. What it means is what? It's makruh. You see, it is not going to be accepted by anyone that that is permissible from the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The same thing applies that a woman fasts without the permission of her husband. Yes, as much as fasting is encouraged. If she fasts without the permission of her husband, she does not have a fast. Or a hajj, muhrim at hajj. Can he fast at Arafah? No. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us, those at hajj, from fasting at Arafah. And Imam al-Zahabi alayhi rahmatullah, he said, if that person fasts while understanding that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prohibited us from fasting, he said he does not have any fast. He has just respected it. And that was why something similar when we are talking about traveling of the woman without a mahram. Someone asked Al-Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai alayhi rahmatullah. She said, I have money, I have wealth, but I do not have a man, I do not have a mahram. Who will go with me to Hajj? Imam Ibrahim al-Nakhai alayhi rahmatullah. He said, what will you do with something Allah has not permitted you to do? What do you want to do with it? Meaning that because you have been prohibited from going to Hajj without a mahram, that obligation of going for Hajj will be relaxed. It is the prohibition that will be upheld. That's why the A'imma of Usul, they will say, An-nasu ad-dal ala tahrim hatta muqaddamun ala nas ad-dal ala al-wujub. Don't say ibaha. Wujub. A text says, you must do something. Another text says, don't ever do it. You know, the other one is also commanding that you should do. This one is commanding you should not do. You should prefer that one that says don't do over the one that says do. And there is no harmonization saying, but it means those. Maybe we'll quickly go to that too because of time. Some people say that no, it is for those who make fasting, who fast on Saturday alone, that hadith is referring to. We say it refers to them and to other than them. It says, لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا في مفترض عليكم. Do not fast on Saturday except a fast that is obligatory on you. You now say no. What it means is the one who did not fast on Friday is the one who can't fast on Saturday. Simple question. That fast is fasting on Saturday. Is it obligatory? Is it obligatory? If it's not obligatory, it is including لا تصوموا يوم السبت. Because it is not film of Surid alaykum. Look at it again, people of Logan. It says, La tasumu yawm al-sabt illa al-istisna fi siyak al-nafi tufid al-haf. Istisna, it says, ill except when it has prohibited. It means except these ones that it has mentioned, no other thing is permissible. It's Logan. So it is not permissible to fast on a Saturday except if that fast is obligatory. So when you say no, it means only the one who has not fasted yesterday can fast today. Let's see what Al-Imam say about it. Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah, because it is his teacher, he wanted to mention the one of Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah first, that he mentioned in his book Tahzib al-Sunan. And Imam Shams al-Haq al-Azim in his Awn al-Ma'bud, it has been appended to it. You know, Tahzib al-Sunan occurs with many copies of Awn al-Ma'bud. So Al-Imam Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah in Ittida' Sirat al-Mustaqim, the second volume, page 71, he said, لا يقال. Don't say that يحمل النحي على إفراده. Don't say that this nahyu, this prohibition, this verse that prohibits us, this hadith that prohibits us from fasting on Saturday, لا يقال يحمل النحي على إفراده. That يحمل النحي على إفراده. That the nahyu, the prohibition is only for the one who fasted on Saturday alone. Imam Ibn Taymiyyah said, لا يقال. It should not be said. That should not be opined. It should not be viewed that it is only for the one who fasted on Saturday alone. That لِأَنَّ لَفْظَةَ لَا تَصُومُوا يَوْمَ السَّبْتِ إِلَّا فِي مَفْتُودَ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because this expression that you should not fast on Saturday except when the fast is obligatory upon you, it says وَالِاِسْتِسْنَا دَلِيلُ التَّنَاوُلِ. That istisna, this act of exempting some things from some other things, دليل التناول, is an evidence that it includes all those things that have not been mentioned in the mustasna. So if you say لا تصوموا يوم السبت إلا في مفطرد عليكم, if the fasting is not في مفطرد عليكم, then لا تصوموا combines all of them, whether it is the day of Arafah, whether it is the day of Ashura or Tasu'a or Thursday or Somu Dawood or whatever the case, لا تصوموا يوم السبت includes them. It says لأن الاستثناء دليل التناول. Because that exception indicates that all those things are included in what from which we are prohibited. It says وَهَذَا يَكْتَدِي أَنَّ الْحَدِيثِ عَمَّ صَوْمَهُ عَلَى كُلِّ وَجْهِهِ. It says this, that implies that this hadith prohibits fasting on Saturday in any way, whether you fast on Saturday alone or you include Saturday with another day. Ibn Taymiyyah is saying that. Alayhi rahmatullah. In his book, Iqtida'u Sirat al-Mustaqim, he says, Fastisna'uhu, to segregate the fast that is obligatory, Dalilun ala dukhili ghairihi bi khilafi yawm al-Jum'ah. He says, it is evidence that whatever is not obligatory is inclusive apart from, as is different from what he says regarding fasting on Fridays. Because fasting on Fridays says don't make exclusive the day of Fridays as the day of fast. إِلَّا أَن تَصُومَ يَوْمًا قَبْلَهُ أَوْ بَعْدَهُ. So this one includes, okay, you can fast on Friday once you fast a day before and a day after. That's regarding Friday. But when regarding Saturday, he didn't say a day illa antasuma yawman qablahu aw ba'dahu. He didn't say so. He says la tasumu yawma sabt illa fi maftirid. So Ibn Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah said, it is wrong to say that that is referring to only those who did not fast on Friday. They are the ones who should not fast on Saturday. I say, no, it includes them too. Don't you see that the way he instructed regarding Friday, saying that you can fast yesterday and tomorrow, is different from the way he instructed regarding Saturday, when he said, don't fast in it at all. And the same statement practically has been mentioned from his student, Imam Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, that time may not permit us to read through it here too. So all this makes us understand that if you say no, that fast on Saturday is for the one who fasted on Friday, then you can fast on Saturday, you are wrong. Because you'll be pushing down a lot of things in the Sharia. You'll be preferring the text that permits over the text that prohibits. While vice versa is what is right in the Sharia, as we have given in many of the examples that we have given. So it is not permissible to make a fast on Saturday, except if that fast is an obligatory fast. Like someone owes Ramadan, he can pay it on Saturday. Like someone is fasting the fast of Kafara, he can make those Kafarat on a Saturday. But to fast, observe a fast that is not obligatory on a Saturday, the Prophet prohibited it at a Saturday. And as said by Imam al-Zahabi, that when those who know that the Prophet has prohibited such a thing, make such a fast on such days, say they do not have that fast. Sheikh al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, in an audio in Silsilatul Huda al-Nur,
He was asked by Sheikh Abu Ishaq al-Huwayni, Hafizahullah, regarding this matter. Most of what we have mentioned, if you listen to the audio, you see it there. But he said something that's very, very fantastic. Alayhi rahmatullah. He said the one who leaves the fast on a Saturday who does not fast, he has two rewards. He said the first reward is Ittiba'u Rasul. He has obeyed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Akhaza bima amara Rasul. Bal taraka ma nahahu Rasul. And that is what Allah instructed us. Anhu Rasul. He says, wama ataakum Rasul. وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ. He said he will get the reward for not fasting on Saturday. He said the second aspect is that he quoted a hadith. He says, this man wanted to fast on Saturday. He's not lazy. He wanted to sincerely fast for Allah on a Saturday. He is strong enough to fast on Saturday. But for the sake of Allah, he left it. He brought the hadith. مَنْ تَرَكَ شَيْئًا لِلَّهِ أَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْ. Anyone who left anything for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it that which is better than it. He says, so from these two aspects, that man is better than the one who left those things and was fasting on Ashura, on the day of Saturday, that Saturday is Ashura. Ashura is Saturday. Fasting on the day of Ashura, that is Saturday. That one perhaps does not have any reward. If he is aware of these narrations. But he goes ahead. He's not saying that narrations are weak. That's another thing. But it gives it ta'wil that it does not take. So the one who leaves that fast, don't say, but he has left reward. He has gotten double reward instead. Because he says, أَوَدَهُ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا. Allah gives him what is better than it. And then he has obeyed the messenger. You get the reward for obeying the Prophet Muhammad. So he has not lost anything. He has not lost anything. In fact, he gained more, not fasting. Meanwhile, he's eating again. That eating is also from the rukas of Allah. So that's the third thing that he gains. So it is not permitted to fast on a Saturday because the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi maftiridu alaykum. This hadith is authentic and the fiqh makes us understand that it is not permissible to fast on a Saturday. Akulu ma akulu hadha wa astaghfiru lali wa lakum. Maybe there will be one or two questions we'll attempt, inshallah. Alaykum salam.
I want you to explain what you mentioned from Imam Ibn Taymiyyah and the Qayyim of their judgment and the hadith, but saying the hadith is sharp and they are istinbath from this hadith.
They have not made these as istinbath. They are trying to attack the position of the Hanabila and of course the Jumhur. The Jumhur has opinion that it is makruh to fast on a Saturday. Meaning that the Jumhur accepts that the hadith is authentic. But the Hanabila, most of them agree that you can add a Saturday. If you add Friday to Saturday, then you can fast on a Saturday. So they are not actually making istinbath. They are ascribed to Mazhab Hanbaliyyah. So they want to say that this your position is wrong. And that was why in Iqtida, what Ibn Taymiyyah said following this is that he says, so the best thing is to say that this hadith is shav. Or to say that it is mansukh. That also means that he agrees that the hadith is authentic. Because la yubhas an hadith is shav illa in the siqat. You don't say hadith is shaz, except you are talking about a hadith that is reported by a reliable narrator. They say, except you say that this hadith is shaz or mansukh. If not, you can't come and say that this hadith is referring to anyone who did not fast on Friday and then can fast on Saturday. No, it's not. So he attacked that position and affirmed that his own position is that the hadith is shaz or mansukh. And we had explained what that contains. Allahu alam. Alaykum as-salam. No. You understand me well. We are not. Oh.
That is just probably
Please do. We are not confused with the statements. We are not confused at all.
Now,
that's okay.
My question.
Okay.
Not fasting on Saturday. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited fasting on Saturday evening.
No.
My question is this.
No, he didn't prohibit fasting on Saturday alone. He prohibited every fast on Saturday, except if that fast is obligatory. If it is not obligatory, you can't fast on a Saturday. If it is obligatory, you can fast on Saturday.
Someone that tries to fast Thursday, he tries fasting on Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
He cannot fast on Saturday. He says the one who starts on Thursday, Friday, can he fast on Saturday? We say let him start from Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. He can't fast on Saturday. Because he says, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tasumu yawm as-sabti illa fi maftirid alaykum. Do not fast on Saturday, except a fast that is made obligatory upon you. So that one that he wants to fast, that he started from Monday, that I included some days, is it obligatory? If it is not obligatory, he can't fast it on Saturday. Alaykum salam.
You said something concerning the Salah, the entire Sham. You said 10,000 of them in the Salah
investment.
If they need for people to move around and say they are preaching the word of Allah.
They entered Sham for many reasons. Some of them were scholars, like Abdullah ibn Busra, like Irbad ibn Sariya, and others. They came into Sham to teach the knowledge they had acquired from the Prophet Muhammad. 23 years, he was teaching them. Those people who go out now to say they are Jama'at to Tabligh, for how many years did they learn before they start to go out to teach? Many of them don't know anything in Islam. The matter is a serious one. So it's not evidence at all. Some of them went to seek their daily bread to eat and drink and find anything they could do. So it's not, there's no evidence to say all of them went there to preach Islam. At the time of the companions and those who came after them, you don't just stand up and start talking. And that was why people like Hajjaj bin Yusuf, may Allah pardon him. Recently I came across a text that Hajjaj bin Yusuf died on a Friday. So let those who want to abuse him more. Because he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that the one who dies on the day of a Friday or the night of a Friday, Allah saves him from the punishment of the grave. So if he killed 100,000 people, are you the one who created those people that he killed? So people like Hajjaj were there, and they were scholars too. They were leaders, and they were scholars. You mention a hadith, they give you the isnad. You mention a verse of the Quran, they give you the tafsir. So it was not a period that anybody just stand up and think that I read one thing in Fadwa al-Ammar, stand up and start talking. No. It is because now the way the environment is, the way ignorance has gotten spread. That is why every Tom, Dick, and Harry can, any Zaid and Amru can stand up and start talking. You say, oh, Prophet said something. That Prophet didn't say. That time, people like that will flog you. That who gave you this isnad? Where did you see this isnad from? Go and bring the person who told you. And if you cannot produce the person who told you, you may be flogged. There are cases like that in the history of Islam. So the time was not a time of prevalence of ignorance as we are today. But unfortunately, instead of the people to learn first, they want to start talking first before they learn. You have to learn first. You did not learn, you want to teach. They say if you wash a cloth, your hands will be clean. This is hadith. Is this hadith? This statement that the reason why the one who has not learned anything should first of all go out and start preaching Islam, he will learn from there, is because if you are washing a cloth, your hand will be clean. This is the evidence. This is hadith. This is verse of Quran. When even you, shahada is pre, it is preconditioned on knowledge. Allah said in the Quran, he says, فَعْلَمُوا أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Imam Bukhari alayhi rahmatullahi in Sahih, he said this is evidence that your la ilaha illallah itself will not be sound with ignorance. How many a time is a person making a statement of shirk, not knowing, thinking that he's praising Allah? Yes, you hear statements like this from this kind of people. A man will say that when a man is cutting okra, you are not the one cutting okra, it is Allah that is cutting okra. This statement is a statement of shirk. لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. You are cutting okra. You are not the one cutting okra. It is Allah that is cutting okra. This statement is a statement of shirk. If they know, maybe they will make evidence. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. There is difference between this. But ignorance will not make you know. You think that what Allah is saying is what you are doing because of ignorance. When Allah says, وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذَا رَمَيْتَ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. مَا رَمَيْتَ. You were not the one who stoned, O Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. At that time you stoned. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But it was Allah that stoned it to them. So they will say, oh, see, Prophet stoned, but Allah said it was not the Prophet that stoned. He stoned. It's wrong. It's a wrong interpretation of this verse. What this verse means, because there were two stonings. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ. When the Prophet on the battle of Badr stone packed some sand and poured it, the kuffar were away. They were not where the Prophet was. But Allah took it to them. So وَمَا رَمَيْتَ إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. When you stoned, مَا رَمَيْتَ. The nephew here goes to the ram you that gets to them. You are not the one that took it to them. إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. That time, because it's making nephew of ram you, I'm making it back of from you again. وَمَا رَمَيْتَ. You did not stone. إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. At the time that you stoned. Do we understand? So مَا رَمَيْتَ. You are not the one who took the stone and the sand to them. إِذْ رَمَيْتَ. That time when you poured the sand. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ رَمَى. But it was Allah who took it to them. So ignorance is a problem. So people will say, oh, when you are driving a car, you are not the one driving a car. It is Allah that is driving the car. That statement is a statement of shirk. لَوْكَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. So that is not evidence for Jama'at al-Tabliq to say that they are flying about the whole city with their ignorance. Allahu A'lam. I think we'll stop here, inshallah, because of time. SubhanakaAllahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu